Hello, everybody. Charisse here with a very special announcement. I am thrilled to share that RCAT is now an official AIA continuing education provider. With this remarkable distinction, RCAT has launched RCATemy, a continuing education platform for the busy AEC professional. And here's the really exciting part. You can now earn continuing education credits by doing exactly what you are doing right now. That's right, you can now earn AIA credits by listening to select episodes of Detail. Whether you're working around the house, on your commute, or stuck in a waiting room, just listen, take a brief quiz, and your credit will automatically be recorded with AIA. It's really that simple. Plus, bonus points that much of our content qualifies for that elusive HSW credit. And we all know how valuable those are. What more could you ask for? We aim to please. Find out more at rcat.com/continuing-education or follow the link in our show notes. And thank you for tuning in to the RCAT Detailed podcast. This is an original podcast by RCAT. Try the number one most used website for finding building product information and save time and money. No registration is required with RCAT, so try it today and get ahead on your next project. Visit RCAT.com. That's ARCAT.com. Hi, Charisse here, host of the RCAT Detailed podcast. I recently had the opportunity to join the RCAT team at the AIA Conference on Architecture and Design in Boston. Every year, the AIA and AEC community convenes to network, share knowledge, and discuss today's most pressing issues. On the expo floor, AIA 25 fosters cross-industry collaborations and solutions across the entire spectrum of the AEC industry. I joined RCAT under the Big Red A to speak with several interesting people and companies who are delivering solutions to design a better world. We are bringing those conversations to you here as bonus content. Enjoy. My guest today is Karthik Kanagalingam, Architectural Specifications Manager at Somfy Systems. Karthik is an expert in motorization and building controls for automated solar shades, which I'm going to admit right now have been challenging to specify in the past, so I'm excited about this interview. With over 10 years of experience supporting architects, spec writers, designers, and engineers across North America, specifying automated solar shading solutions. Karthik, welcome.
Good afternoon. How are you? I'm well. How are you doing?
Good. Lots of interviews. I'm excited about this one, though, because automatic shades are one of those things I have found challenging in the past because there's so many components.
Correct.
So before we even start digging into all the dirt that I want, why don't you give me a 5-minute... Who is Somfy? What's your role there? And what would your elevator speech be to me if I'd never heard of you before?
Yep. So Somfy, we are a motor and control manufacturer that have been building controls and motors for over 50 years. We've made 250 million motors worldwide. It's a French company, but in North America, we have 3 offices in the US and 1 office in Canada. And our motors and controls are found in 90% of the roller shade manufacturers in the industry right across North America. Oftentimes, what you'll find is that the systems that are being specified, and for the longest time, the systems that have been specified is the actual roller shade product, but not specifically the motor technology, right? And that's where Somfy stands out, is that we don't bid projects direct. We actually help consult and support our fabricators, and like our go-to-market channel is fabricator, dealer, general contractor, client. But we work with everybody in that picture, as well as the architect and designers, just to make sure motorization is as easy as possible to specify and use. I've been with Somfy for about 10 years now. I started in 2015, started off on technical support, warranties, supporting the dealers. I moved into trainings, I've moved into commissioning, quality, So I've learned a lot of different roles over the years. And for the last 5 to 6 years, since 2019, I've started the specifications role. I've been taking courses, like I was talking to you about earlier. We've been doing courses in Construction Specifications Canada, equivalent to CSI, Principles of Construction Documentation, just to better understand the industry, just to better understand and support the community that we're all working together with. And that's where I found a niche, something I enjoyed doing. It doesn't feel like work, right? And that's the best part, is when it doesn't feel like work, it's actually fun. And you want to keep doing it over and over again. And just growing my network within the community of specification writers and architects, it's been growing very fast and it's been doing really well. And along with me is the Somfy brand name, right? It's building that brand name into the industry. And I think we're doing great success with her.
Well, I'm gonna tell you that when I hear the things you just said about taking the courses and getting involved with CSC and getting those certifications to really truly understand what we do, why we do it, you understanding how I work means that we can work more efficiently together. I know I get your business card and I see those letters after your name.
Yeah.
The conversation I'm about to have with you changes immediately in my head because I know I can get right down to business. I know you're going to understand what I'm talking about.
Yep.
You're going to understand what I'm asking for and why I'm asking for it. And so just know that puts you at the top of my list right there.
Yep, yep.
Because I have a job to get done as well.
Correct.
And I don't want yours to be inefficient and I don't want mine to be inefficient and I don't want to get it wrong.
Yep, yep.
And if you've gone to that level to also understand how the business works and what a spec writer needs from you and why they need it, then I know I'm going to get good, solid information that isn't going to put me at risk.
100%.
So I just had to do my little sermon. Kudos to you.
Thank you.
For doing that extra work to be that trusted advisor.
Thank you. Yep.
Because now I know who I'm calling next time I have to deal with motor shades.
Feel free. So, I'm on the East Coast. You're on the West Coast. But I cover the Pacific Northwest territory as well. So I'm in Portland, Seattle.
Okay, good.
I just recently took over that territory about 6 months ago. So starting to work slowly within that. I was at the CSI Seattle ProSpec, was it? It was ProSpec, mm-hmm. Yeah, I was there with one of our manufacturers, just supporting them and talking to get to know the community there.
And you missed our industry forum last month? And our region conference, big event. You know, Portland's got one of the largest chapters in the country.
Oh, they do? Okay.
Yeah, I think you're going to need to come by and visit.
I will.
We just had our biggest event last month.
Okay.
Paired with a region conference, but you're welcome anytime.
Okay, I'll put that in the calendar for next year, for sure.
Well, West Coast is the best coast anyway.
I hear you.
So let's get some education for me.
All right, let's go.
Specifications. I'm a spec writer.
Yep.
You also are a spec writer.
Yeah.
You know, I write my specs and I find specifying the motors for the roller shades to be particularly, even though I haven't done that particular type of product in a while, I find that to be difficult. There's all these details that I don't understand and how do I know which one to pick and those kinds of things. And so now, you know, I kind of wonder, putting out specs that were causing problems down the road, but those problems never came back to me. Tell me, pretending that I didn't send out a perfect spec. We'll just pretend that happened once. What are the kinds of things that spec writers could learn from you so we could do a better job on our specs? What kinds of things do we do wrong?
All right, so let's start. So there's one thing that's very important to know is that, talking about it earlier, was 90% of the roller shade manufacturers in the industry have access and have used our motors and controls in their roller shade systems. And for the longest time, specifications for automated roller shades were built within section 122413 or 122400. Under roller shades, there would be a section on manual, there would be a section on motors. But it all comes back to scope and scale, right? You can have a motor with 100 project with 100 motorized shades, 500 or 1,000. But as soon as you get into those larger scope projects with more complicated integration methods or complicated automation methods, it all comes back to what the functions and features you're looking for in a roller shade system, right? Do you want a manual shade? Great, you got the chain. But now there's this new regulation around the corded window covering regulation for residential spaces or MDUs related to the chain and how big it could be, or it could be a choking hazard. So that's really changed the industry, where you're starting to see a lot more motorization happening because it solves the chain problem. But coming back to the functions and features of motorized shades, that's how you dictate how your specifications can be built, right? And around the world of automated shading, there's three main technologies, right? Standard motor technology, which is just a switch on the wall, open and close. Wireless controlled motors, you can wireless control them, great for small offices or conference rooms. But as soon as you move into the world of automation, such as sensor-based automation or such as time-based, such as automation in cases like school facilities where you want a lockdown scenario, where you have like scenarios of fire alarm systems, you want shades to automatically open. These types of systems require more network intelligent motors, right? So to specify those types of systems is very difficult without speaking to a subject expert, right? And that's where we're seeing this over the industry, is that the technologies that are specified are not the right technologies on these projects, because your client is looking for this, but what's being specified is this, which is technology from 5, 10, 15 years ago. And what we found was, and this may hurt a couple of feelings, but the roller shade manufacturers have not been updating the specs to the newest technology that may be cost effective, but also better for the control side of things and helping to achieve your function or your goals of the automated shading system, right? Especially with automated shading, when you have automation in there, the blinds are going to be where they need to be at any moment of time to prevent glare, which is one primary reason for it, but control daylight coming into the building, right? And having those performance-based discussions in your specifications versus a wide scope, it really takes out a lot of RFIs. And I have a different term that I learned through taking the specifiers course, was room for interpretation, whereas an RFI is request for more information traditionally, right? So what we want to do is get less ambiguity out of there, right? Focus on performance, focus on what functions you're looking for, and write the spec much more cleanly. Now, we actually have our own spec under section 122509, which is motors and controls for window treatments. And that spec doesn't get used often, but coming back to scope and scale, if you've got a large project, it definitely validates and complements your project manual and having a specific set, a specific specification where you can relate to, here's the roller shade specs, related to section 122509 is your motors and controls section, right? And that's how you can tidy it up. That's how you can make it clean. That's how you can make it much more robust and take the risk out of the game, right? And then the last thing I'd like to touch base on when it comes to the specification side and how we can do better is do meetings with the architects, do meetings with the product reps, have meetings with the self-consultants, because you want to better understand the adjacencies around the products, right? How does this fit inside the pocket? How do I bring the wiring in? What type of conduit do I have to do? There's so much pieces and parts that interact with the motorized shade system that if you don't talk about it in the early stages of design, it can cost more after, right? And talking to the sub-consultants and the architects as a spec writer, it can help you take a lot of risk out of there. It can help reduce the RFIs that you're going to get. It can help coordinate and plan a project as smoothly and successfully as possible. And I think that's one way to do it better, is talk to the product reps, get the right product information in there, and try to get more performance-based specifications around this topic versus leaving it very open-ended, because you may get the wrong product on the project.
That would not be a good thing.
Yeah.
I can't even tell you how many times somebody thinks, oh, I'm in a hurry and I have a deadline. I don't have time to call them. And so I'm just going to guess.
It's probably 3 a.m. You're writing that spec because the project is due tomorrow.
It's happened.
Yeah.
It's happened. You know, I mean, I will go to the ends of the earth to try to get that answer before that spec goes out.
Yeah.
But I've also seen that, you know, somebody doesn't, they're just not familiar. So when I talked about this in an earlier interview, and so they left everything in. Mm-hmm. and I don't know how often I preach. Exactly. I'm stealing your room for interpretation thing, by the way. I'm going to use that on people I know, because I constantly preach that you do not give the contractor a choice. If you have three choices in there, and one is, you know, compare it to Olympic medals.
Yeah.
Bronze, silver, and gold. Mm-hmm. They're going to pay for the bronze and then get a change order for the gold that you wanted.
Yeah.
And you don't want that decision, or something gets installed that's really affects a lot of other pieces and parts of construction. That change order is way bigger than changing out a product.
Yep. I mean, just the other day I saw a lawsuit for a hospital, $100 million, because they didn't do the concrete flooring properly. And the project was built 10 years ago.
So let's talk a little bit about construction. So I've got some ideas of things I can do better, my specifications to hopefully prevent issues.
Yep.
And do the right, have the right amount of communication. So what about contractors? So maybe I did my spec right.
Yep.
And everything's on the way out there, and they're getting started. What kinds of things do contractors not understand that end up causing problems during construction with your products?
So when it comes to construction related to our products, one of the biggest things I would say is, first of all, speaking to product reps, even general contractors should be in touch or know the product reps within the industry, right? And I mean, with us at Somfy, we don't bid projects directly, but we're available for meetings with the general contractor, right? After subcontractor award, we're there to make sure that the right products are based on the specifications. Maybe when you're doing a review process, we'll look at the different technologies. You may get a bid for $50,000, but the other guy's at $150,000. Why are the bids so way off, right? And then try to see, okay, does it meet your spec goals? And then this way you're closer to the right solution. Continuing with that, at the construction side, what you want to make sure you put document on your specifications on part three, especially, is make sure that you write that the subcontractor should be manufacturer trained or have been vetted to support these types of systems. Because if not, there's going to be a lot more challenges and learning experiences during construction, which can cause delays, right? And we know how delays can impact other products being installed or other applications being finished. So that's a big thing, is that making sure that in the specs it mentions manufacturer trained authorized personnel, etc. You know, I'm sure you've seen that before. And then the last part is just making sure that when it comes to the specifications side of things related to construction on our products, we want to make sure that we document the right products, make sure that, you know, at the end of the completion of the project, we can bring in someone to train the facility personnel, right? To make sure that they have support on the products working efficiently, right? And there can be a walkthrough of making sure that the system is running to what is the design intent, right? As long as we're able to do that, the project will be a success. And we've had some couple sour projects, and that was all because the subcontractor wasn't experienced or trained on it. And they used the project as a training site, which is not the professional way of doing it, right? And especially when you get into the more complicated technologies around automated and motorized shading, it could get a little dicey and things may not work. And at the end of the day, the client is trying to move in and it's like the blinds aren't working and you're cooking in there because you're 20 floors up and you're south-facing and your window blinds aren't even opening and closing, right? So it is a tough world. I mean, sometimes we get the phone call and it's like, the world's going to end. The blinds don't work. And we got to drop what we're doing and get out there and get it fixed, right? And that's what we try to avoid, right? We want to be prepared. We want to be proactive. Make sure during construction, all the right type of wiring is done, the right type of termination's done. The scope of work is to the other trades is documented, especially through the shop drawing side. So there's a bunch of things, right? I touched base on a little bit of everything, but there's a lot to automated shading. And I'm thinking that you can see that now is that there's lots of pieces of puzzles that other scopes of work have to do in order to get the automated shading in there as well.
So we all know that there's getting to be a larger and larger shortage on skilled labor. And we have a larger, much larger, younger workforce coming in.
Yep.
And so we have a lot of people in not just in construction, but in architecture and in engineering and in all the players on the project that are in training mode. They're in learning mode. And so one of the ways I've tried to mitigate that as much as I can. Obviously, I can't mentor people I don't know.
Yep, yep.
But I can do things like I'm doing a lot more specifying in my specs on more systems than I ever have before, on those installer qualification requirements, and requiring a pre-construction or pre-installation meeting, that the manufacturer's rep and the installer have to be there.
Yep.
There's a lot of ways that you can kind of ward off a potential problem before it happens.
100%. Yep.
Because you have the installer there and the manufacturer there, and you're talking through these things, the installer's going to recognize real quickly, or the manufacturer's going to recognize real quickly, that installer has no idea what they're doing.
Correct.
And like, okay, I'm going to have to tell this person, you know, I need to be here for this, or just, you know, getting some of those quality assurance requirements, really beefing those up. We're going to be in a training mode for a number of years.
Oh, for sure. And it's up to the general contractor to meet and vet these guys. And I feel like maybe the general contractors aren't doing a good job at it.
Right? No, but you have some recourse as a design professional or as an owner if you've required that. And that includes a submittal of a certification statement that, yes, this installer has 5 years experience or 10 years experience or whatever it is you're asking and has installed this system or is approved by the manufacturer as an installer.
Yeah, yeah.
All of those things, it not only ask for it, make them prove it before they can even, you know, we all know can't do any work till they get an approved submittal.
Correct.
I think that's one way to help.
And I've had newer subcontractors reach out to us for support, and we've supported them. We've trained them. We've taught them the system. We actually also offer our services called project services, which is shop drawings and commissioning to these newer dealers. They've been doing shading for over 10 plus years, but when it comes to these types of technologies, we do support them on the manufacturing side as well. So for us, ultimately, the goal is to make sure that the client gets what they're looking for and what they paid for. And that's your goal as a spec writer. That's the general contractor's goal. That's the subcontractor's goal. It's all our goals is to make sure the client gets what they're paying for and to the expectation that they want, right? And that's where I've, like in the courses that I teach when I'm teaching to students is that I always mention, you know, the drawings are one thing, but the specifications are contract documents. They trump the drawings. Right. So if there's
litigation. Not in the United States.
Oh, no.
General conditions in the United States clearly says that the drawings and specs are complementary.
Complementary to each other.
And they are equal in the eyes of the law because, you know, and it's kind of funny. If you're doing your drawings and specs correctly.
Yes.
You can't build your project without reading both of them because it's say it once and say it in the right place.
They complement each other. That is 100%.
There's that written detailed product requirement, installation, things like that, and specs, and locations, and massings, and that kind of stuff on the drawings. You don't repeat things.
You couldn't
look at the drawings and build anything without opening the set. But people violate those rules.
But
in the U.S., they're equal.
Okay, good.
Even
I learn something new every day.
Well, I know there's a few. The general conditions in the U.S. and Canada are largely similar. But there are a few key differences and some language differences, but that's one of them.
Okay, good.
They are equal in the eyes of the law here.
Yeah.
And because if you've done them right, and you're also in the United States protected, the contractor is protected from a design professional's mistakes in their drawings or specs or if they're not prepared properly.
Okay.
And there's conflicts by the Spearin Doctrine that was decided by the Supreme Court in 1918.
Okay.
That says a contractor is entitled to documents that are correct. And concise and don't...
The five C's.
Yep. They got a few in there, contain no errors and omissions or conflicts. And so if the contractor can point to a conflict, they're getting that change order and the owner has to pay it.
And they're
protected from those mistakes. You can't say, well, you should have known better. The onus is on the design professional to do good documents. And the contractor is protected if you don't. So another important thing to understand, because we have a lot of people, obviously, current political situations aside, you know, most of us Americans love the Canadians. And, you know, I have tons of good friends in Canada.
Yep.
You know, we work together. Our spec writing organizations are like sister organizations. Yep. I've been to CSC's conference. I've been to CSI's. But it's important to understand that there are regional differences sometimes in the laws and what your recourse is and those kinds of things. And we can't neglect those either.
For sure.
We want to hope there's never a conflict.
No, and that's the ultimate goal is avoid things breaking down, lawsuits, litigation, right? And it's to reduce the risks on projects, right?
So final question.
Yes.
Tell me what's new or amazing, or this is your last couple of minutes to tell me anything you want me to know about Somfy.
Yep. So with Somfy, I mean, for the last year or two, we've been focusing a lot on our specifications, right? Improvements on our websites to support the architect and design community. Because ultimately, if our specifications are not easy to use, they won't be used. In the past, we had the whole kitchen sink of products that we have in our specs, making it so much more complicated to specify our products. Now we've redesigned our spec, and with the help from RCAT and Spec Wizard, we've made it much more user friendly. We made a lot of spec notes to understanding the various technologies and design decisions based on product selection, right? We tried to make it much more easier to use within the industry, keeping the terms based off of functionality, right? And also what we did was a big design improvement on our website is focusing on commercial projects, focusing on access to our specifications, right? Avoiding having to register or submit your email to get our specs. We kind of make it as easy as possible to get that because you don't want to have to go through blockages of getting information. You want information at 3 a.m. because you need to complete that project. So our goal was to make that as easy as possible and accessible. Part two to that is that we also improved our technology. We've launched new innovative technologies that make automated shading much more cost effective. One of the newest ones is using power over Ethernet. We've actually powered our motors at various levels of lifting capacity using Cat 6 wiring, right? Traditionally, you'll need low voltage or proprietary wiring, which is very expensive. Right? Whereas a 1,000-foot spool of Cat 6 can run $200-$300, right? The other part is 120-volt wiring. Electricians are expensive. Electrical infrastructure is expensive. If projects are poorly designed when it comes to automated shading and they don't have the electrical infrastructure designed properly, there could be a high cost or change order for the electrical infrastructure. But with power over Ethernet, that's not the case, right? You can use this type of wiring to pre-wire your project or coordinate the wiring in a much more cost-effective way. And lastly, I mean, we're all here to support the industry and community. Somfy has, we have about four architectural specification managers on our team, covering right across Canada, the US. We got central US, we have a rep for East Coast, we have a rep for West Coast, all of Canada as well. And yeah, we're just there to help the whole entire design community, right? Just make sure when it comes to the motorization and automation systems, we want to make sure it's easy as possible to specify and use on your projects.
You know, I think at the end of the day, we all, regardless of your discipline or which area of the business you're coming in, we all want a successful project.
Yep.
And we just forget that sometimes in our rush to meet these ever shortening deadlines or smaller and smaller budgets, we forget that when we take that shortcut, it's affecting a lot of other people that it might affect the project.
Yep.
So I really appreciate this conversation today and the focus on, hey, we can get this done if we just do it together and understand it.
For sure.
Thank you for joining me today.
All right,
it's a lovely conversation.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much. And thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and want to learn more, visit rcat.com/podcast to see photos, details, and more related project and product information that we discussed today. While you're there, take a look around rcat.com. For over 30 years, RCAT has been the resource for AEC professionals to find the right products for their project. Try RCAT and see how their tools can save you time and money and help you get ahead on your next project. Visit rcat.com. That's ARCAT.com. If you enjoyed the show, you can support us by subscribing, leaving a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts, and sharing this with your friends. Thanks again for listening, We'll be back to share more stories and lessons learned to help you navigate your next project.